Since our gospel meeting begins this week, it's necessary to make preparations. Well, that goes without saying, does it not? Well, here at Morgan Street, we've been praying. We've sent out flyers. We have a sign out in front of our building here on 540 East Morgan Street. We've announced it on our radio program, as you should know, and community happenings. We've submitted the announcement with WCBK. Now, here's the most important part. With God's help and all of us working together, our meeting can be a great success to the glory of God, and to God be all the glory. So this morning, let's study the need for gospel meetings, and then with the time left, let's look at some examples of daily evangelism in the early church. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And again, those initials, PFE, can remind us what we need to be doing every day. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as, of course, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. As we come together to worship God in the assembly, well, we naturally want to follow John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Having a proper attitude is in spirit, but following the New Testament pattern, which God has given us, that's in truth. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, we always look forward to the opportunity of studying the Bible together. If you would like to do that, please let us know. We'll set it up at your convenience that time. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. There you'll find our radio sermons going back a number of years and our bulletins with sound articles and updates and the sick and so forth there you can find. Now, let me announce our gospel meeting. Yes, sir. It's beginning Friday, the 12th of September at 7 p.m., following Saturday night at 7 p.m. on the 13th, and then on Sunday the 14th. That will be 9:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m. worship, and a potluck lunch that is going to be outstanding, and then the final sermon would be at 1 p.m. Who is our speaker? Brother Donnie Vick of the Shelbyville Road Church of Christ, an outstanding gospel preacher, has a very fine family. His theme, The Bible and Me. The Bible and my happiness, my money, my children, my marriage, my salvation. Do you not look forward to hearing these topics? Well, you should. And so we look forward to having you with us. And please let us know if you listen to the radio program. So we look forward to hearing Brother Donnie shuck the corn and put it out where the calves can get it. Now, let's get into our study this morning, the need for gospel meetings. So, as we ask the question, why should we have a gospel meeting? The first obvious answer should be because sin flourishes. No one should disagree with that. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. That's right. Because Satan does not like it when the gospel is preached is another answer to our question, why should we have a gospel meeting? Yes, Satan does not like it, and he is our adversary. Notice what Jesus said in John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now Jesus was speaking to those Jews that rejected him. Yes, and Satan, of course, does not want us to accept the truth, to accept Christ and his teaching. Of course not. He's rebelling against God. A fallen angel cast out of heaven. Do you want to follow someone that thought he could defeat God and still thinks that way, no doubt, continues to fight against the truth? Well, here's another answer. Why should we have a gospel meeting? Because God is glorified when the gospel is preached, of course. Revelation 1:5-6, notice, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, we all should be able to say amen. In Revelation 4:11, the throne scene, as John was revealed visions from heaven. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 14:7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. Well, here's another answer to our question, why should we have a gospel meeting? Because the church is edified. In Ephesians 4:11-12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors or elders and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, Paul, the inspired writer here, was writing to the Ephesian Church of Christ, the Church of Christ at Ephesus. In Ephesians 4, notice verse 16, still in that same chapter, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, that's for every congregation of the Lord's church, is it not? We know that it is. Ephesians 4, still in that same chapter, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Well, that's right. And notice, one other answer we'll give here to our question, why should we have a gospel meeting? Well, because the church is commanded to evangelize the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:15-16. Matthew 28:19-20 was the first reference. This is the Great Commission that we're under as servants of Christ, as members of the body of Christ in the Lord's church. If we do not carry the gospel of Christ to the lost, who will? Well, we all should understand that responsibility if we're a member of the true church you read about in the Bible. Now, let's notice some examples of daily evangelism in the early church. And we're going to start out when the church began in Acts chapter 2. Let's go to verse 42 of Acts chapter 2 and notice. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's those that obeyed the gospel. Those, of course, that had been baptized under John's baptism. And they were in the church as it began. And so these are the ones that are continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So notice. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, they didn't have the complete revelation of God as we do today. They needed the miraculous signs and wonders. And all that believed were together and had all things common, verse 44, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. This is not communism. No, but what is it? It's taking care of those who had needs. And you had to sell sometimes property or possessions in order to do that. Notice verse 46, and they continuing daily. That's the word we're looking for. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. There's unity. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So if the Lord was adding to the church daily, there was teaching and preaching going on every day. Did you notice that having favor with all the people at this time, that was the situation, but that would change, would it not? We know that it did, because a number of the Jews rose up and started persecuting the church. And of course, later there were persecutions coming from the Roman government as well. And so we keep that in mind. But notice that they were in the temple daily, not just on Sunday, verse 45. And the people, yes, were being converted on a daily basis. Well, what would have happened if the early church believed you only needed to meet one time a week? They wouldn't have had those results, would they? No, they were busy praising God for the growth of the church. What about us today? Are we interested in lost souls? What does our actions say? Now, let's go to Acts chapter 8. We'll notice here in Samaria, verse 4 beginning, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but everybody else that was in the church, they were scattered. But what did they do? Hide and go into depression? No, they preached and taught the word of God. In verse 5, notice, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Well, verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, that's the church. That's the true church. We're looking at in the Bible that began there in Acts chapter 2 concerning that church. And what else? And the name of Jesus Christ. That's not just saying Jesus over and over again. That's talking about his authority. And they were baptized because they learned the truth, both men and women. Well, what would happen today if the church was scattered abroad? What would we do? You know, Philip could have said, well, I'm not going to Samaria and associate with those folks. Well, they were a mixed race. No, he cared for their lost souls. You see that in verse 5 and 12 that we just read. Well, let's go on now to Acts chapter 11. We'll see another example of daily evangelism. Barnabas here was sent forth and supported as a missionary by the church in Jerusalem. Now notice verses 22 through 26. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church. Did you know the church had ears? Well, it certainly does, because the church means the called out, those that are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Those that obeyed the gospel of Christ are added by the Lord to his body, his church, the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, meaning the same. So the church has ears, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, well, what did he see? He saw the results of the grace of God, and of course, was glad, and exhorted them. Barnabas was a great encourager. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, making up your mind, this is what we're going to do. They purposed in their heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. We need to do the very same thing, do we not? For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. They were given a spiritual gift. You see, they didn't join any religious group. No, they were added unto the Lord. Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You see, this is evangelism in the first century. Notice, Barnabas exhorted the brethren in Antioch to cleave to the Lord. So we need to ask ourselves, have we purposed our hearts to cleave to the Lord? We see that Barnabas was a good, faithful man who taught many people. He taught them what? He taught them the truth, the doctrine of Christ, and worked with the Apostle Paul when other brethren were reluctant to do so. As you can see, chapter 9, verse 27. But let's go on and notice now Acts chapter 13. And we'll start with verse 1 here. Now there were in the church, which church? Well, there was only one church. Yes, right. The Lord said, I will build my church. That's the church of Christ, obviously. And this is the kingdom of God. And so that's what we all should understand. That eliminates the confusion, doesn't it? If we understand this is the church we're reading about in the Bible. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. In other words, they gave them their blessing. And they're now going to go into the world and preach the gospel. Yes, on a missionary journey. Now, what if only a few brethren were willing to help support the Lord's work in Antioch? What would have happened? Not what did happen, of course. The church today must send out sound brethren to go forth and teach and preach the precious gospel of Christ. We need to work towards producing sound preachers, godly elders, and teachers, not having itching ears to tickle people's ears and things like that, but teachers that want to stay with the truth. And, of course, future wives of preachers and elders and deacons and so forth, sound, faithful women are very much needed in the church. We don't want to certainly leave them out. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and begin with verse 4, and we'll go through verse 9. Excuse me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit again, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word, not opinions. No, they received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. So that ye were in samples, or as examples, to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak in anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Well, that'll preach, won't it? These Thessalonian brethren, they gladly received the truth. They didn't keep the gospel to themselves. No, sir. These Thessalonians were living examples of Christianity, and they were truly converted to Christ, having turned from idols, idolaters. Yes, they were forgiven of their sins when they obeyed the gospel. You know, we should never and must never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Let's be like Paul and boldly state the same thing. Now, they were involved in good works here, which were reported throughout the brotherhood. Where Paul was traveling, he was hearing a good report about these brethren, verses 7 through 9. And you see, yes, they were in every place. But this was in every place Paul was going. He was hearing this, how they were working for the Lord's cause. You know, we need to faithfully receive the word today and make the proper application to ourselves. Sometimes we look at someone else and say, well, you need to, you know, obey what the Bible says, when we're not doing it ourselves. Well, that's hypocrisy. We need to first obey the gospel ourselves, and then we can teach others the truth and see where people need, of course, to make correction and help them, as long as we're not involved in the same thing. Now, we need all of us that are in the Lord's church not holding the truth to ourselves. No, sir, sharing it with others. That's why we need a gospel meeting. And we need several, of course, a year. And we have other congregations, sister congregations, having gospel meetings that we need to support in this area, even if we have to travel some. We're going to receive a benefit. And they are encouraged by our attendance. We certainly appreciate our faithful brethren coming and supporting our meeting from a number of faithful congregations. Well, notice 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Now, is the word of God working effectively in us? Not if we don't study and obey it. Now, James 1:21 and 22, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Are we deceiving ourselves? We better not. Let's be doers of the word, not hearers only. Now, what's more important than saving souls? Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Yes, Jesus saw the importance of saving souls. That's what he came to do. Even if we were to gain all the earth's treasures, it would not be our own on the day of judgment. But our soul will be either saved or lost on that great day. For what is it a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26. What does our soul mean to us? What does our life say? If you've never obeyed the gospel, we stand ready to assist you in hearing the truth. That's how our faith comes. Romans 10:17, to believe that Jesus is the Christ. John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent, getting out of a sinful life and turning our will, our mind is turned over to God's will. And we turn away from that sinful life, Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Now we're ready to be immersed, baptized in a watery grave. Under that water, we're contacting the blood of Christ that washes away our sins, and we come up out of that water to walk in newness of life. As Ananias told Saul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. Then we need to live faithfully. Even if it meant our death, we'll receive the victory, Revelation 2:10. And so we hope that you will come and support our gospel meeting. You see the need. Thank you so much for listening today.